one of the first disciples called. Peter, whose mother-in-law was healed by Jesus. Peter, who requested the Lord to allow him to walk on water. Peter, who asked Jesus to explain parables. Peter, who said that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter, who Jesus said, this rock will be built on my church. The church will be built upon the rock. Excuse me. Peter, who said, I will never desert you, Jesus. It is this same Peter who deserted Jesus, who denied him three times. And now our text presents Peter after he has disappointed not only his Lord, but himself. Now, Peter resembles what we've all been through, the inconsistency between our mouths and our lives. It would appear that a deep and abiding commitment to Jesus took a nosedive. Peter not only denied Jesus three times just before they nailed him to the cross, but after Jesus' death, Peter went back to his old life. He went back to his scurrilous ways. He went back to fighting on ships for certain parts of fishing areas. He went back to cursing and went back to drinking. He went back to all of his horrible ways that together, all of those ways harmed his family. He went all the way back because Peter's despair was large. Peter's despair over disappointing Jesus Christ was the catalyst to forego his commitment. Jesus Christ is the one who would then save him as only he could. Now we look at Peter and how easy it is for us to look at Peter and become extremely critical of his behavior. Religiosity bores its way into our conscience and distinct callousness grips our sense of grace and mercy. It is not unlike us who know God to look at Peter with religious disgust oozing out of our pores. How many of us know that there have been times and moments in our lives that we have disappointed God? We've disappointed others. We've disappointed ourselves. Maybe it was being arrested for a drunk driving ticket. Maybe it's going way over the speed limit and receiving a hefty fine. Or maybe it was investing money in an unknown venture and losing it all. Those are the kinds of disappointments that not only reverberate with self-shame, but they reverberate with disappointment from everybody we know. It knocks you out of life, this kind of disappointment. No wonder Peter went back to his old ways. No wonder he said, I'm done with life, because God was supposed to take care of all of us. He wasn't supposed to die like this. We get knocked out of our belief system, people of God. And beloved, sometimes we wonder whether God was really in charge. Well, if God was really in charge, he would have kept me from doing that. We wonder about God's full mercy. We wonder if God really answers prayer, or is it just some figment of my imagination? But just as Jesus promised, and the title of our subject is, Jesus Doesn't Let Go. In other words, once God has a hold on you, he's not going to let you go. Jesus rose from the dead and tells Peter, he says, Peter, I've come back for you. You made the worst mistakes out of everybody. I told you to be quiet, but you kept on talking, but I'm coming back for you anyway. And what does he do? He challenges Peter in the text. He says, Peter, do you love me? And he asks him the question three times. He asks him the question in front of the disciples he would one day lead in building the new church. And then Peter feels all of the shame come up in his heart and says finally to God, you know that I love you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ does not depend on any person, especially Peter. As a matter of fact, if we switch those moments, we know that God saves us on his own and he doesn't need our help. If he needed our help, we would be in trouble. Jesus does it alone. This means that Peter's salvation did not depend on Peter. It only depended on the saving work of Jesus Christ. Jesus was brought to a night court and was falsely accused of treason against the Roman government by himself. Jesus' beard was pulled out of his face while he was going through his process of being persecuted and then killed. 10-inch Palestinian thorns were raked on top of his skull, and he was beaten to the very inch of his life. And Jesus didn't do that with somebody. He did that by himself. While hanging on the cross, he forgave the world, endured the turning of his heavenly Father's back, watched Roman soldiers play dice for his clothes, and then he did it all himself. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his own life for you and for me. Our salvation, our love for God does not depend on us because we fail. Sometimes we fail a little bit, and sometimes we do like Peter, we fail miserably. Jesus did it all by himself. Jesus went to the grave by himself. Jesus conquered death by himself. Also, he could not let us go. Because you know what, saints of God, beloved of God, God doesn't let us go. As I shared last week, David said, if I make my bed in heaven, you're there. If I'm in hell, you're there. No matter where I am, God, you won't let me go. And thank God he won't, even when we let God go. Jesus conquered death by himself. Peter had the human freedom to do what he did, but Peter could not save himself by himself. Jesus wouldn't let go. It is proven by the question and answer between the resurrected Jesus and the fallen Peter. Look at the text. Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus says, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says to him the second time, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. He says, do you love me? Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Now, Jesus' question of Peter's love is not just for information, for Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity, and he knows Peter's heart. Jesus' question is for the opening of Peter's understanding. The last question brings Jesus' self-disclosure. This is where you see the word know, and that word know is from the Greek word gnosko, which means intimate. Real knowledge that no one else has. It's the kind of knowledge only one person would have. That is to say that when Peter said, Jesus, you know I love you, Peter was saying, you know I love you because you see what's in my heart. Despite what happened, I still love you. Despite what I did, I still love you, God. Yes, I've disappointed myself. I've disappointed others. I've disappointed you, God, but you know that I love you. There is a commitment in every one of us this morning that no matter how we disappoint God at times, or we disappoint one another, or we disappoint ourselves, the love of God is there to rescue us. Now, it can happen to anyone because this kind of disappointment is a gut punch. And when that gut punch comes, it's going to come and it's going to knock us down. Our soul is going to be hurting. A divorce can happen and it break down your soul that it would make you believe that God has left you in darkness. That's disappointment. Life's traumatic losses, such as financial loss, can leave us wondering whether we're doing right or wrong. We are at a loss when we experience pain and suffering from disappointment. It can happen to anyone. Life can be brutal, but God will not let you go. Sometimes the decisions you've made put you in conditions that you weren't realizing. Maybe you have made decisions like Peter and then told God, "I think I'm done with you." But I want you to know, precious ones, that God is not done with you. And sometimes God can just be plain annoying. He just never goes away. He keeps speaking and he keeps saying, "I love you." And he keeps saying, "I'm over here. I'm not going anywhere." Over and over and over again. He won't let you go. Amen. Holy God.